An expatriate's dream, quote, each time I go to a place I have not been before, I hope it will be as different as possible from the places I already know. When writer Paul Bowles wrote that, he was surrounded by sounds like these. A Moroccan musician playing an instrument called a ganoua, accompanied by a choir. Bowles made these recordings and many more part of a lifelong exploration by an American of the different places in North Africa that fascinated him. Quote, the visitor to a place whose charm is the result of its backwardness is inclined to hope it will remain that way, regardless of how its inhabitants might feel. Bowles wrote that back in the 1950s. These recordings are now in the Library of Congress, the legacy of an impulsive scheme to convince the Rockefeller Foundation, he did, to give him money and a massive tape recorder to collect the music of Morocco. A selection was released in 1972, but now these recordings are seeing a new life. Philip Schuyler first met Bowles in the 1970s and is the editor of the new edition of Music of Morocco from the Library of Congress.
He had been dreaming of doing this project for at least at that point 25 years, from the early days in the 1930s when he first went to North Africa. And he used to buy 78 recordings, but he could see or he could hear that there were things that were not being published on record, and he wanted to make his own collection. But it wasn't until the late 1950s that he got the Rockefeller grant to do this work.
Do you think he academically is approaching it the way an ethnomusicologist would, or is he just, you know, hearing awesome stuff on the street and recording it as best he can?
I think it's more the latter. I'm not even sure that at the time he would have been aware of the word ethnomusicology. He didn't really give a fig about academic standards or academics in general. He was a college dropout. He always tried to avoid any kind of intellectual structure, whether it was music theory or history or sociology. What he was after was sound. He loved sound for its own sake. And you can hear that on a couple of examples on the re-release. But even from childhood, he had been fascinated by noises. And in the case of Moroccan music, it was a kind of apparently endless repetition that had a lot of variation built into it, but didn't seem to follow the same structures as Western art music.
So in 59, here is this man, you know, hanging a microphone outside in Morocco, recording music that he thinks is possibly going away or needs to be recorded for some reason. Here's one example of the kinds of things that's on this series of recordings. Is a secular song sung by a Jewish Moroccan. What does a song like this mean, and what might it have meant to Bowles?
The example from McNess, he refers to as gold, and I have to agree with that. It's also now extremely rare. What it shows to me is the ecumenical spirit in Morocco that existed before the 67 war and to some extent continues to exist now. There was a lot of cultural interchange. Some of the most distinguished musicians of the Andalusian tradition were Jews, and there was a parallel repertoire using the same melodies, the same instruments, the same structures, but with texts in Hebrew, which in fact had been the origin of the form. So this particular example shows very clearly the similarity to other Arab examples, other Muslim examples on the recordings.
Can you imagine what Bowles must have gone through to get a solo performance of a kuzba.
Well, it was a bit of negotiation, and I'm fully in sympathy with what he was going through, because some years later I tried to do exactly the same thing, and the musicians in this case told me, at least, that they had to be in physical contact with each other, two drummers and two flute players. So he tried to separate the musicians, and eventually through a little strong-arming with the help of local government officials, he was able to persuade this one musician to give him a solo. His methods in this case may not have been entirely ethical by current standards, but the result is just a lovely piece of music.
You've talked about how, you know, Bowles was interested in sound just for its own sake. There's a track that you include on here called A Night in Tangier, which, you know, might be a Dizzy Gillespie tune or something. but it actually is A Night in Tangier. It takes us to a place and to a time. What is its meaning, do you think?
It's part of a temptation of Bowles to record by stealth, because he understood that gathering people together in an artificial situation, putting a microphone in front of them, was going to change the performance. He had to do it. But he also attempted on a number of occasions to record at a distance. In the case of this example, which is the last one on the set, I think he got exactly what he wanted. He used to go up on his roof and try to record the dawn call to prayer when the city was relatively quiet. And what he discovered and what he came to love over time was you could hear the call to prayer, but he would also hear all of these other sounds of the city waking up, of dogs barking, of crickets chirping, and in this case, an automobile starting up and crashing through the scene. And it was that sort of sound collage that he was very interested in listening to, and the sound of the city as a whole rather than one particular item of music.
Well, Philip Schuyler, thanks so much for that tour of someone who is endlessly mysterious, Paul Bowles, and a land and a place that is equally full of richness. And the sound, I think, is a hint of all of that. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Philip Schuyler, retired professor of ethnomusicology at the University of Washington and editor of a new edition of Music of Morocco from the Library of Congress.